Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Hello everybody and welcome along to our extended coverage of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Championship for 2022. We welcome them back in 2021. It was absolutely outstanding. Here at Daytona was their first time back in the IMSA paddock for some time, and man, did they put on a show. And that went on throughout the whole season. Got qualifying coming up, but yesterday Shay Adam caught up with last year's champion Gresham Wagner.
The Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich on IMSA Radio.
Starting things off, champion Gresham Wagner. How nice has that been to have that next to your name in the off season?
It's been a couple years of working for that, so it's a lot of relief mainly. I'd say satisfaction, relief, and just a little bit less stress coming into this season without, you know, being my fourth season without a championship. It's nice to come in and know that we can win it and to just try again.
Back with Sparky, with Spark Performance, but the team has grown quite a bit. What's it like having teammates at Daytona? That's got to be a sigh of relief.
Yeah, our first year in 2020, we had Celine with us, and that was still not a big team, you know, just the two of us. And then last year alone, it's a bit lonely, I guess, but I look forward to it. You know, having teammates never hurts, and I think we've got two really capable drivers that we've added this year. So for the program as a whole, I think it's good, and, you know, it never hurts to have friends out there and just being able to compare data and notes and race a race with them and have a little bit of backup sometimes.
What's the goal for this year, now that you've won the championship and you've accomplished that? Do you want to win more races than last year, more poles? What is it?
I think last year I had four poles in a row or something like that. I always like getting as many as I can, but, it's tough with how close it is. You can miss out on those by, you know, half a tenth of a second. More than anything, I'd like to get up to 10 wins. I think I'm sitting at 7 right now. Probably should have been a bit more earlier in my MX-5 Cup career, but I think that's a good benchmark, is just 10 wins and, you know, of course, top three in the championship again. Ideally, I'd like to win it, but it's so close, I'll take a top three as my goal for the beginning of the year.
What's it like coming back to Daytona as a race winner? Because not a lot of people can say that about this track.
At most other tracks, I'd say it brings a bit of confidence, you know how to win, but I don't think there is a certain way to win here. So I think I got lucky more than anything. And, obviously I know how the track races and how to attack certain corners, but you can only control this race to an extent. You just got to have luck on your side and hope it kind of works out for you. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm not super confident about the finish, but I know I'll be part of it.
What's the track you're looking forward to most getting back this year? Maybe Unfinished Business or just had a good run last year? What's the one on the schedule?
I'd say St. Pete, because 2020 was our first time to St. Pete. I was double on the pole. Probably could have won a race or both of them and blew up on the warm-up lap and didn't get to race those. And then last year, qualified on the front row and, going a couple laps into the race, had a retirement. And then a bit of a messy race, too. So out of, four front row starts, I've had one finish. So I'd like to clean that up a bit and, you know, try to get a win or at least put a good race I could be proud of together. Because it's been messy so far for whatever reason there.
Last year, you and Celine and Michael worked well together to sort of drive away from the pack. We're still going to be seeing that this year? The three of you still going to be trying to clear cut ahead?
I don't know if it'll be just us three. I know Connor for sure is a fast driver. You know, I came from karting. I'm still around the karting circles, and I've seen him drive. I've been at some of those events, and I know he definitely knows how to race a race and how to drive a car fast. So I expect at least probably four or five drivers to be up there this year, as opposed to just mainly us three last year. I think it depends how eager people want to be, because once you get bitten a few times by racing too hard, it tends to calm you down a bit, and you're more willing to work it out with other people up there to just, you know, narrow down the front pack. But, you know, we've got a bunch of rookies, and, you know, everyone wants to lead and win their first time out, and I think it takes a bit of calming down to really get to the point that me and Celine and Mike were at last year. So we'll see. I'm sure at some point this season people will kind of figure it out and start to work better with each other.
Sage advice from a champion. Gresham Wagner, good luck this year.
Thank you.
Well, if there are Mazda MX-5s on track, you know that Justin Piscitello is going to be out there, and he's going to be competitive. Justin, I had a special request to interview you because you had the best view of everything going on last year. How do you plan on being at the front of it and having less of a view this year?
Well, you know, we made a few changes for this year. I'm in a different car. We got Baby Bull Racing on board for Moisey and I, so we're hoping that with those changes we should be able to be a little more competitive, work our way forward a little bit more. MMR has always supplied us with amazing cars, and they're going to continue doing that this year. So another year of knowledge with the car, with the sequential gearbox, and we're just going to keep plugging away, and did a little bit of off-season testing, so I think we're going to keep moving forward.
McCombie Immaculate Racing is lucky to have you because you're not only a driver, but you act as a coach as well. How complicated does that make your weekends?
Yeah, it definitely eats up some time on the weekends. I mean, fortunately this weekend I'm only working with just Moisey, so that's super helpful. But we all end up talking and collaborating, and it's one of the benefits is we do have so many cars and we got a lot of fast guys. So Chad can sit there and send one car one direction setup wise, send another car another direction, and then we can look at the data afterwards and collaborate and put it all together and see what we think is going to be the fastest. But you have to remember to turn it off when you're in the car, because you might be sitting there thinking, well, what's going to help Moisey? How can I make him faster while you're driving? And then you're like, well, I'm slowing myself down here because I'm not thinking about my driving. So, you know, if you can just turn it off and focus on it when you get out of the car, it's all good. If you start thinking too much, you know, you get yourself in trouble.
Well, and good point, because eight cars under the stable for the team now, that is a lot of people out there. That's not going to be a detriment, though, especially at a place like Daytona.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we can all be good teammates and work together. You know, a bunch of us came and did a test here in December, so we've kind of learned each other who likes to drive what way and what style, and have an idea who's better at, say, being a lead car and who's better at, say, being a push car. You know, and we were able to play a bunch, like I said, with the setup and try and see how we can make the car handle better, say, in the brake zones or in the infield or whatnot. So definitely going to be a huge benefit. Should always have a teammate somewhere within sight, I'd like to think, and hopefully we can get a whole bunch of us to the front.
In terms of this team, it's a very well-proven organization. You mentioned you have a new car. You have a new livery on the car as well. But you have your own car that you run in Spec Racing Sweet Potato, right? That's the name of it?
Yes.
How different is that car from the one that you run over here?
So Sweet Potato holds a special place in my heart, because when I first started racing, I raced in an NC chassis. The global cars are an ND chassis, and when I ran in Skip Barber and then won the Mazda Speed Shootout way back in the day, when I was, you know, as young as all these guys that I'm competing against now, it was in the NC chassis. And so I always loved it. I always wanted to, you know, one day have my own car and drive around the country and sleep in my trailer. And it's not all that I thought it would be, sleeping in the trailer, but owning your own car has proven to be super useful, super helpful. It's definitely helped me get a better understanding for mechanical sympathy and understanding what's going on underneath the car and setting the car up. And it's another way to just get more time in a car and stay sharp. Stay part of the Mazda family.
I've been asking everyone else so far, but you have a bit of a different response to this, I would imagine. Track that you're most looking forward to getting back to. So many of these young kids, last year was maybe the first time that they got to go to the track. you've been to all the tracks. You've won at almost all the tracks. Let's face it, in one thing or another. But what's the one on the schedule that you've got circled?
I am always looking forward to Road America. Road America for me is always the highest of highs or the lowest of lows. And it's like, you know, we were there last year, and unfortunately we had a change of motor right before qualifying, and we were super fast in practice.
Yeah, Justin's really just the best teammate I've ever had. I love being around this guy. Just really adds a smile to my day.
Unfortunately we had some issues, and MMR did everything they could to get the car back up and running for the race. And we went out and we competed, but unfortunately the motors have some break-in time and whatnot, so we just couldn't do what we wanted with it. And it was actually the same way for me in Sweet Potato this year. Was leading a race, got a puncture in a right front tire from the lead, but then we were able to go out and, you know, capitalize on it the next day. But it's my favorite track. It's everybody thinks it's a horsepower track, but there's a whole huge infield there that definitely requires some handling more than horsepower. So definitely one of my favorites.
This place, experience doesn't seem to matter at Daytona. It doesn't matter where you are, except on the last lap, and then you go 7 wide across the start finish line. Well, what's going to be the secret to winning here?
Probably the biggest secret to winning here is finding the right teammate, being able to figure out how to get the hand signals down with somebody for temperature. Engine temperature is going to be a big ordeal, so we're going to have to be able to find somebody that understands that you need to rotate. You can't just lead every lap because the car behind you is going to overheat. It's going to take a lot of patience and commitment to somebody at some point during the race. The infield is important, but the draft is more important, and understanding how the draft works and what position you want to be in, you know, and some other cars, you could be the fourth car, 10 car lengths back, and you're like, all right, here's the lap from God. But if the way the cars want to be, it's kind of like NASCAR car tomorrow. They want to be touching. You got to be up under each other. And if you can get a stack of two or three together, the third and fourth car are just going to drive away from them unless they can get connected. So understanding the chess game and trying to pull the Dale Earnhardt and see in the air is going to be pretty important here.
Justin, thanks. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So that was yesterday, or earlier on in the weekend. No, that was yesterday, actually. Shea Adam is with me now as we get ready for this qualifying session. Welcome to the Haggerty Broadcast Centre. We've got the best view in the house, and we've got I think it's fair to say, without upsetting any other of the manufacturers here in either IMSA or the Michelin Pilot Challenge, I think this might be my favourite set of cars.
Yes, and hello to start things off. At the risk of offending any other manufacturers, I love Mazda, and I love Mazda Racing. 31 of these cup cars set to take the track, but first they got to figure out their qualifying positions, and I was privileged enough yesterday to hang out in their paddock, talk to some of their drivers. There's a lot of really good characters over there.
And what are we expecting to see this year? Last year, as we mentioned in the introduction, it was the first time in a wee while that they'd been back in the IMSA paddock. They set a very, very high standard last year.
Very much so. The racing we saw became the racing that everybody watched. It was the sort of stop what you're doing event time of the weekend. And it was a lot of fun for us to just be able to sit back and watch it and call the races. But now they come back to Daytona a year on from that epic finish, ready to do it all over again.
And we have mentioned this, but it's worth saying again. I think this is everybody's favourite championship.
Yeah.
Now, all right, the weather's a little bit off today, and it is getting around to lunchtime, and this is only a practice session. But come the race this afternoon, nobody wants us to talk to them when the Mazdas are out. Want to go and do an interview? Yeah, any time of the day. I've got a debrief here. I've got an engineering meeting here. And by the way, not when the MX-5s are on the track.
Exactly. It's the kind of thing where green flag comes out and everybody just sort of pauses. If you can see a TV screen or not, if you can only see a timing screen, doesn't matter. The paddock tends to shut down.
Yeah, absolutely right. So this is a 33-minute session, and there's no restrictions. You go out, you turn as many laps as you want. 31 cars on the entry list. They're all ND2s, the global cars that have the sequential shift now, have had for a couple of years. Still a three-pedal car, but with a sequential box. Some new names this year. You mentioned them in your preview, but for those who didn't download or listen on demand, there's still time for you to do that on imsaradio.com, of course. Who should we be watching?
Well, there's some new names, some changes within teams. That's another thing we need to keep an eye on. Yesterday, Gresham Wagner was quick as always. We know he's going to be good. The defending series champion in car number 5. We've got a rookie with McAleer McCombie Racing in the form of Matt Curry. He is going to be a very quick guy as well. The team, he's with Copeland Motorsport. He and Max Opalski are both rookies with this team. They are going to be quick right off the back. Aiden Fastnacht, he's a newbie, but the name is very familiar, particularly within this paddock, because his dad has been a staple of Mazda racing for a very long time. So we should expect big things from Aiden as well. We've got returning people to the championship, such as Glenn McGee. He spent a couple years away. Glenn, a local guy from Tampa, coming out to do this race weekend. We'll see what happens going forward. And it should be entertaining. But as far as cars to keep an eye on for this session, you've always got to watch the 96 of Jared Thomas. He was the only repeat on the podium last year. He's going to be good. And then, of course, you've got Connor Zilich, the scholarship winner in car number 72. Watch out for him, expecting big things. We've got Michael Carter back again in the 08, Carter Racing Enterprises car, solo entry, but always quick. And then we've got Celine Rolland for Hixon Motorsport in the 87. And although the car looks a little bit different this year, same driver.
Now, what's the qualifying format here? Not missing anything here at the track or further afield. The cars are just coming out. It is drying on the track at the moment. There is a drying line, by no means completely dry on the infield, but on the banking at least. Is it best lap for race one?
Yes, best lap for race one, second best lap for race two. And by the end of this session, we're going to have a championship leader because you get 10 points for qualifying.
Good point.
And since we are on 0 points on the year, whoever comes away from this session with 10, they are going to be the leader. So it's at least bragging rights for today.
Now, last year we talked an awful lot, Shay. And again, we'll just keep an eye on the times. Nothing, you're not missing anything at the moment. Let's just talk a little bit. Oh, who's that in the pit lane?
That's Jared
Thomas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Still with the yellow roll hoop.
But with 4 co-drivers this year, I'm wondering if they were going to put on perhaps dry tires. It's still a bit too wet out there. No, it looks like the hood's going up, so there is something going on for the 96. Nope, they touch the front of the car. It rolls slowly. It stops. Now it gets rolling again. So maybe just making sure that the hood was fully secure for Jared Thomas.
Yeah, he may have seen that flapping around. And he, I think, just about managed to get out of the pit lane exit there. It looked like he was going to go straight into turn one for a moment, but he changed his mind. Spent a lot of time last year talking about real cash money. Hmm. And drivers telling us right the way through the season in interview that this is a championship now that you don't necessarily use as a stepping stone. You can stay in this, you can make back the cost of a season and more, because of the cash that's been put in there by Mazda. And it's not on account that you come back the next year. They're going to hand you not a briefcase full of folding dollar bills, but you are going to get a check to spend however you want.
Correct. The only money that comes with any sort of stipulation is the scholarship that Mazda awards, but that is separate. That was awarded this year, actually, to driver in car number 72, Connor Zilich. He won that shootout and won $100,000 to come and play in this series. But if you win the championship, you get a check that is actual money. Even second place is still $80,000, which is enough, 85, I believe. And then the cost of a season is $80,000. So you still have $5,000 in your pocket.
Well, the thing is, most drivers at any level will say, I'm prepared to spend X amount on the season. So frankly, if you got half of it back, that's a bonus.
Exactly, because you've had double the amount of fun for the cost of the program as well.
Yeah.
One thing we do need to keep an eye on, John, bump drafting has been explicitly no-no'd from race control.
Right.
If you hit somebody once, you get a warning. If you hit them twice, I believe you have to give up 2 positions. And then if you hit them 3 times, it continues to get progressively worse throughout the course of the race. They are monitoring that in qualifying as well. And there are a lot of big car teams this year. Not that the Mazdas themselves have been enhanced with steroids or anything, but the programs have grown dramatically, so there are many more cars for people to work with. Right now, we've got Jared Thomas out on track all on his own. Everybody else is together in a horde, and it makes for a wonderful sound, doesn't it? Céline Roland, the first to draw blood with the fastest time, 2 minutes and 17.033. Expect that number to drop dramatically in the next 23 and a half minutes. Michael Carter in second. And Bryce Cournier, a new driver to this series. He was second in the shootout, actually. Did win some money to come and participate from that. In third, Bryce, who I chatted with quite a bit yesterday. He's a very impressive young man. I think we'll be seeing podiums out of him this year.
Exxon Motorsport. 87 Mazda, not with the Autism Speaks jigsaw puzzle livery that we saw last year.
Yeah, they chatted with a bunch of different charities. They want to try and bring attention to different charities with every season. So Autism Speaks was their charity for last year. It's the Austin Hatcher Foundation for Céline Roland this year. The car, a light green with some orange accents on it, doing great work trying to help raise money. It's really just a wonderful foundation, the Austin Hatcher Charity, trying to raise money for pediatric cancer and finding a cure for that.
Yeah, great bit of social responsibility. Céline Roland then, from Michael Carter. Bryce Cournet, then Sam Paley, back with the number 28. McCombie McAleer Racing. Is that black again this year?
No, it's actually got a different livery on it as well. And Sam Paley, who won the rookie scholarship last year, coming back with the same team. But now he's considered more of a veteran because they do have two other rookies on the team. Eight cars for Stephen and Chad's organization.
Well done. Already, race control getting involved. Tyler Gonzalez, the man from down at St. Cloud, Florida, for Copeland Motorsports.
And someone's off at the International Horseshoe.
On lap two, invalidated. Constant contact on the banking. See, I would have said.
Just behind the gold car now, John. Can you pick out a number for that?
I think that's the 15 car of...
15?
Yeah. McCombie McAleer Racing is in Fastnacht.
Yep.
And the Sword Performance Machine. Also an incident at turn one a moment or two ago as well. But that has quickly cleared.
Yeah, race control was going to be diligent about that contact on the banking. And it's really unfortunate because we had Tyler Gonzalez at the top of the charts for a brief moment before race control rescinded that earned lap time.
Yeah, taken away. So Roland, Carter, Wagner. Hello. Have we just dropped back here? The guys who were battling pretty much to the end of the season at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Then Bryce Cournet, the best of the rookies. Sam Paley, Connor Zillish, who really made a mark after winning the scholarship. He's in the rookie championship this year after Sam Paley. So that's fifth and sixth. Then Woody Hyman.
Yeah, which is an impressive performance from Woody, a guy who came into the championship midway through the year. Mid-Ohio is his local track, and he's back with Jared Thomas Racing, JTR, once again this year. But to put the car in seventh after three completed laps, but two flyers, that is a very stout effort.
I think almost half the field are rookies. I'm counting 14 rookies out of 31 out there.
I think that's right.
Yeah, that's it. I've done it by eye and pointing my finger at the R's as I'm going down.
I wondered what you were doing there.
Yes, I know. Doesn't work on radio.
No.
But that's testament to just how well Mazda are working. These cars so competitive. Little group of four just going underneath us now.
How was John Somm's time across the line? Because he had the ideal draft there behind a bunch
20th.
Of other cars.
20th. Jensen Altman. Dropped the car here last year, but really improved throughout the season. It was his rookie season last year in what was then the all-white number 13. Jensen, I thought, raced very well last year. I think by his own admission, would have liked to have qualified better. Three cars off at the International Horseshoe.
Uh-oh.
Two have recovered. Think... The 55, Moisey Oretzky, was one of the ones that came back from the grass. We've got the 56 still stationary. And that 56 then... Oh, no, there isn't a 56.
Uh-oh. No, that would be 55. I think that's Juretsky's car. The gold wheels on it with the black base livery and then a gold bowl
yeah,
on the side.
Yeah, that's correct. Right, so who was it that continued?
96. So that was Jared Thomas. Jared Thomas had caught back up to the pack.
No. Well, it might well have been, but there was another car there, and that wasn't the silver car.
Jared Thomas is continuing slowly from Speedway Turn 3, but there was another car that was going slowly through the Western Horseshoe. So clearly there is some displeasure out on track.
Might have been Tyler Gonzalez, actually.
Oh, he's not having
Copeland
a good
car
qualifying
in the
session.
51.
He's another one who's coming back to the series, John. Tyler Gonzalez ran here a few years ago with Copeland Motorsport and then stepped up to the Michelin Pilot Challenge last year. Ran in a Hyundai TCR car, but you've got the option of Mazdas. And we do have a red flag out now. We've got too many slow cars around the circuit.
I think it's the spinner. It's Zaretsky at Moisiereski who's still trying to find power from that 2-liter engine.
That's one of the McCombie-McAleer cars, Moisey Uretsky, who is very ably coached by Justin Piscitel, another one of the drivers that I was able to speak with yesterday. And he actually talked about coaching and driving and how sometimes his brain switches into the wrong mode. And he thinks, "Ooh, well, if I did this, it would help Moisey's car. Wait a minute, it's middle of a race. I'm going for a win. Yeah. Stop that."
Well, they've dispatched a wrecker truck in a flatbed. Now, what I can only see the left-hand side. And if it's going in the auto trader on Monday, then take the picture from the left. I suspect there's going to be some right front damage on that car when it gets back. There were three cars involved. I certainly saw two with a starting number of five. And so that would be Moisey Uretsky, which I picked up on. Was there another? Was it not Cornet, maybe? Let's have a look at that car when he comes in. Where's
or Tyler Gonzalez, as you initially thought.
I think it might have been Gonzalez. Let's have a scan through. No, it wasn't Tyler Gonzalez because that's too bright. So,
if you're around the circuit and wondering why the cars are going back to their pit boxes instead of that beautiful open position at pit exit, it's because in qualifying, you're not allowed to go straight to the pit exit. And as I say that, we have somebody who has transgressed.
Oops.
There is a car waiting at the pit exit. What race control will normally do is make that car wait until everybody else has gone out.
It's Bryce Cornett, who was involved in the Hixon 65. Oh. The red car with the stitching on the side. Very evocative of the 1991 Le Mans winners.
Guys.
2-3 now.
Guys.
Okay, cars numbers. I'll call the numbers. You can say the names. 32 is the red and white car at the back.
32.
So you're getting used to them like I am.
I am. That's Chris Nunes, of course, the California kid.
Oh, yes. Just a bit of change of the colour there. The black and green car in second is the 43.
43 is... Joey Attanasio, another guy who's listed as a rookie, but he did do the race here last year.
And Bruno Carneiro for Hixon is the 21 car who started it off. No, well, he's gone there, sir. If he's gone there, I can go there. You're not supposed to be here.
Nope.
So that'd be a drive-through straight away.
Yeah.
And the time is still ticking on. The red flag has not, even on the timing, the timing hasn't stopped. Even on the timing screen, cars return to pit boxes only.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is taking a little longer than I thought it might, but our Sterling recovery crews and the marshals and flaggers all doing their work very well. And it's now loaded up. The Cayenne, the AMR safety vehicle, Porsche Cayenne, heads back to the exit. Didn't have far to come, but they did have to come contra race, which is why the red flag had to come out. And we've got one of the jet dryers as well. So does that suggest then that there's a little bit of essential fluid that's been laid down, or maybe just a little bit of damaged bodywork that they want to blow off the circuit? Yeah, that's moving in now with the jet dryers onto the racing line. And Moisey Uretsky's Mazda MX-5 is secure on the back of the flatbed.
Hello to Carl and all our other IMSA officials listening in on 107.9 in those safety vehicles.
Oh, okay, fine.
Saw Carl this morning.
And it'll be 2-0-2 for the weekend, guys, on Sirius if you have got your vehicles equipped with that, whether you're here at the track again or further afield. Appreciate it's a 24-hour race. It's Saturday to Sunday. You might not be able to give it your full attention with the requirements of modern life, particularly at weekends.
Okay, the safety truck is making its way back to its stationary position, the one that blows all the garbage off the track. We have the flatbed off the circuit as well, and as soon as that truck climbs back to its position, which should be about now, we should be good to go back to green flag conditions. 13 minutes and 45 seconds remaining.
So that's going to be, roughly speaking, 6 or 7 laps. The green flag is out. The 3 in the acceleration lane have moved. Also very quick off the blocks, but waited to get the green flag was the 0-8 of Michael Carter. So he's trying to get his way through the field. There's 147 Mazdas trying to fit into the single pit lane exit. There were 6 wide there for a moment.
And Woody Hyman gave a little bit of a bump there to the back of Jared Thomas's car twice. Not once, but twice.
Hello, I'm here. Hello, coming through. Excuse me.
Hi, I want to go fast now.
So now we've got pretty much the whole field. The top 3 that went out, or the first 3 that went out, are going to be called back in, as Shea mentioned.
And
leaving the pit box early, drive through, and that's the 3 cars we mentioned. Brunan Carneiro in the Hixon number 21. The 32 is Chris Nunes in the formidable racing car for this year.
New team.
Yeah. And the 43 is Joey Attanasio for, again, formidable racing. Mm. So the 2 formidable cars, not very formidable there. They'll be called straight back in. And I do notice as well that the car that I thought was involved in that accident, one of the 3 cars that was involved, which is Bryce Cornier, is still sitting right opposite us.
A lot of gesticulation around the left front of that car as well, John, and given the position of Moise Uretsky's, that would make sense.
Yeah, right front, we think, on Moise Uretsky's left front here. Mm-hmm. I don't think we need CSI Daytona Beach to come out on this one, do we?
Maybe NCIS Daytona Beach, though. Oh, you know, if the Navy's involved. Yeah. And the weather certainly is a bit Navy-like. Car 7, Matt Curry, rookie candidate this year, has been given a drive-through penalty as well for speeding in the pit lane. It was 1 click over the limit, and his car is still stationary in its box. So when he goes back out, if he goes back out, he's going to have to come right back in.
That's a shame. Little mistake there, little whoopsie. The 4-cylinder 2-litre Mazda engines being revved within an inch of their life. Absolutely street stock, those machines in the engine department. In fact, they are sealed, so there can be no suggestion or finger pointing there. All of these Mazdas started, these Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup cars started life as a street car. Who's that on the bottom of the track coming through speedways turns 3 and 4? Everybody was up on the high line. He must have overtaken about 6 cars there. I kid you not, just coming to the line now, Shea.
Okay,
this black car coming through.
Oh, that is one of our new kids. That is car number 76. Up close, it looks like the side of a fighter plane.
Okay.
And I believe that is...
Well, he was on the afterburners there, I tell
you. Yeah, he was. That is one of the McCombie McAleer cars. And that is the car that I was warned about before this weekend.
Matthew Dirks
is the name of the driver. He's from Johnstown, Colorado. He was the 2019 Teen Mazda Challenge champion, 2nd in 2020, but he did get Rookie of the Year. And then last year, Regional Spec Z champ. He's a very fast kid, very fast learner.
That incident for the number 65 car that took out Moise Uretsky, well, that is going to be very costly for Bryce Cornier.
Oh,
he was running right at the top. He's running in fourth position. And he's going to lose 2 fastest laps.
Ugh.
And that car is still in the pit lane at the moment. He's still sitting in the car.
That moves him back to 22nd from 4th. That's massive.
Yeah, well, clearly incident responsibility then given to Bryce. And that number 65 car, which is a red-coloured car with black and white stripes on it, and also the stitching marks that are so reminiscent of the Le Mans winner in 1991, the renowned car. Céline Ronan then with the top time from earlier on, under 10 minutes to go now from Michael Carter, half a second between those two. Gresham Wagner next up, about a tenth back, exactly a tenth back. So it's 87.08 and 5-year top three. Conor Zilic now the best of the rookies after the two best times have been thrown out for that number 65.
Watch Jared Thomas. He is on a flying lap right now. Remember, he had that issue on his first lap, had to come down the pit lane and check the hood. He's back out now. He's in a pack. Personal best sector one, overall best sector two, and I think he's a part of this group coming to the line. Not here, but wait about 30 seconds and we'll get him.
Okay. Improvements for in second position. Tyler Gonzalez goes through in the 5-1. That is the Copeland Motorsports machine. Michael Carter goes to the top. Jared Thomas to second. Céline Ronan back to third. Tyler Gonzalez now down to fourth. This is more like it. Oh, look at the times at the top. Jared Thomas did sit briefly on pole position provisionally, and Michael Thomas has pipped him by the smallest margin that we can measure. 2 minutes, 16.173 to 0.174 for Thomas. And interestingly, Michael Carter does not have any faster sectors. Jared Thomas has two faster sectors. And indeed, Michael Carter didn't even get any of his own best sectors there. He's just putting a better lap together. Gresham Wagner, fastest in sector one. Jared Thomas at the moment owning sector two and three, but Michael Carter putting the better lap together than both of them. 2:16.173, the time to beat with 7.5 to go.
And guess who was right behind Michael Carter when he crossed the line? That would be Jared Thomas. Mm. And guess who was chatting after I finished talking to Michael Carter yesterday in the Mazda tent? That would be Jared Thomas. So clearly a little bit of cooperation going on between those two guys, knowing that they are usually toward the front of the field trying to figure out how to stay there in this qualifying session. We are seeing that there's an incident reported at the Western Horseshoe. I'm not seeing, oh yes,
yellow
I am. I'm seeing
out.
A car off and driving in the wrong direction, rejoining the circuit now. No clue what car number that is though. John, can you see it?
I think it's car five.
Car five. Impact. Gresham Wagner.
Yes.
Impact at the Western Horseshoe.
It was the new colour scheme that threw me out for Gresham Wagner and Spark Performance.
Yeah, that's bad. He's got smoke coming from the left front of that car. I think there's tire damage as well. He's just turning up onto six. Normally, you would go up onto the banking. I'd imagine he's going to stay well off of that.
Yeah, it's left front damage. The wheel is just about pointing in the right direction. The BF Goodrich tire being tortured there as he goes through Speedway turns one and two. I've decided I need more powerful binoculars.
I've just received a message from those who know in race control. Car 7 will not be going back out. Matt Curry has an engine issue. Okay. They are requesting a rollback to get him back to the garage.
Okay. And he is right at pit out.
Yep.
This is the blue, orange, and silver car. Two pits from the end of pit lane. So that's bad news. Flat tire confirmed now by race control for car five, but that was contact. So that is impact damage on the left front for the number five Spark Performance driver, Gresham Wagner.
Last year, Sam Pelly came through and won the Rookie of the Year award without getting a win. I'm just checking. He did get a pole position at Sebring, I think it was. But right now, he's top of the charts at Daytona International Speedway. That's a declaration of intent.
Very impressed with him last year. He was almost always the best placed rookie, and he wasn't frightened to battle it out with the more experienced drivers like Michael Carter and Céline Ronan. Improvements last time around. Conor Zilic is the best of the rookies now. In the number 72 car, Conor, having won the scholarship last year, made his debut in the season finale. Hixon Motorsports, then in provisional rookie pole. Then it's Chris Noones. He's up to fifth in the 32 car. Joey Attanasio, second best of the rookies and sixth overall. Then Céline Ronan, characteristically down in seventh position. Maxi Opalski is the third best of the rookies. Three rookies in the top eight.
It's an impressive showing, especially when you consider some driver names that are outside of the top 10. Gresham Wagner, Jensen Altman. Those are two people you expect to be up in the top 10. Justin Piscitell, Aaron Jeansom, Glenn McGee. Those three cars, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. 24th, 25th. That is just unusual. We've got Gresham back into the pit lane, by the way. It is a different livery for our defending champion. He's back with Spark Performance once again.
He's good straight behind the wall, isn't he?
No, he can't. Back behind the wall, the entrance is further down towards Speedway Turn 4. But Sparky's colors, if you remember way back when, John, were orange and green on the cars.
Yes.
So what they've done for their three cars for Spark Performance this weekend, Gresham has a black car with orange and green accents on it. You've got Aaron Jeansom, who's rocking the green roll cage. And then the third of their cars this week, for this week only, orange roll cage.
Okay.
Uh-oh, we've got another car slow. Car 21 is slow from turn 5 onwards. That's Bruno Carneiro again.
Yeah, it's not been a good run for him. He's sitting right in the middle of the racetrack coming up towards turn 6, but he's moving over to the left-hand side now in the mostly white car. Last couple of seconds, we're down to 3 minutes. One more lap. If you get across the line now, you should be able to get at least one, possibly two more laps. Carneiro, well, he's back up onto the banks and goes right to the top into the fast lane on the bank. But he's not up to pace.
No.
I'm very surprised at that. He's got a group of cars, of four cars coming behind him, and we're all using the draft, not bump drafting, but drafting. Then there's a group of about 12 cars coming through, which includes one of the couple of motorsport machines.
Probably Tyler Gonzalez,
it
if I had
Tyler.
To take a guess.
Yeah, it is Tyler. He's in about the fourth spot. Michael Carter just on the high side. This is how he won the race here last year, at the exact spot he was there coming off turn two.
Yep.
Got a really good push from that's Jared Thomas with the yellow roll cage. So Jared Thomas pushing Michael Carter. They are second and third at the moment. And those two doing a little bit of handily, doing a little bit of slipstreaming, drafting on the high banks. Jared's right there again, but being careful not to make contact with the rear bumper. Then Gonzalez has made his way through and he's trying to get on the back of them. It's almost like we have a race here. Carneiro is right up on the top of the racetrack at the moment, back up to speed, and he's got this train of three very experienced drivers coming in behind him at speed down to turn one. Here comes Gonzalez, pulls out to the right, tries to look to see if he can get through, then goes back down the inside. Carneiro does stay out of the way. Improvements last time around for Connor Zilic, still top rookie, sitting in fifth overall with a 2:16.6. Celine Roland climbs up a couple of spots to six with a 16.669. The top seven within a second.
I think Zilic and Roland are on track together right now. They both did personal best sectors 1 and 2. Here we go as they cross the line side by side. Zilic goes to third, Roland to second. That worked well.
And Zilic goes round the outside in that pistachio green-coloured car.
That's Roland.
That's Roland now, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's Celine Roland in the pistachio green car.
They're teammates, so that's a very handy duo to be out there running around together. Zilic learning a lot right now from Roland.
Also into the pits there was the gold chrome car.
Zachary Lee. Another guy that we welcome back to this championship.
Why does it say Rossi Lee on my...
That's what it said on mine as well. But exactly.
I know. That's
strange.
Okay. Just have to get used to it.
Laid eyes on him yesterday. It's the... Yeah.
Maybe it's his tribute to Valet's retirement. Because he's running the 48. Damage to the left front of 5. Who sent you that?
That would be Aaron. Aaron Siegel.
Thanks.
Our brilliant eyes and ears in the paddock.
Check your flag is out, but the laps you're on will count. Can't see who that is down there. Is that Dennis or is that John who is waving the checkered flag at the moment? Waiting for the group of cars to come through.
Oh, Roland is purple.
Now, Also, this little group ahead is coming in, but I don't see any changes right the way down to the yellow line. Coming to through the tri-oval for the number two of Matt Kapalski. They go through and no changes there. Now, there goes Jared Thomas. Does he improve? Yes, he does. He improves his time, but not his position. Sam Paley takes the checkered flag. Celine Roland improves his time, stays in second. Zilic improves his time, stays in third.
They haven't crossed yet.
No, they haven't. David Staub, though, has, and he's up in the sixth position.
Phenomenal effort from David Staub, a lawyer from Texas who actually brought his brother racing as the last two crossed the line. Can Roland do anything to Paley? No, he can't.
Both of them do get their best lap. They pull within 0.026 of a second. Roland then, less than a blink of an eye away from pole position, will start on outside roll, and his drafting buddy Connor Zilic, the rookie, the best of the rookies in the number 72, will be on the inside of row two when they come to the green flag later on this afternoon for Hixon Motorsport. But pole position, his second pole position in the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, first of this season, of course, setting a high bar for McCombie McAleer Racing in the Eclipse ECSM Red Team Ventures car. Congratulations to our first pole sitter, Sam Paley.
Sam, who did manage to get the award last year for the fastest lap during a race as well. So he is pretty good at laying down those one lappers. But this is important because now 10 points to Sam Paley. We'll have to wait and see what happens with who gets the second fastest lap and starts on pole for tomorrow's race. But for tonight, for the next couple hours, Sam Paley is our championship leader.
I'm going to say that I think Celine Roland's second lap time was slightly better than Sam's. I was trying to keep a clock on it as I was running through. What we can say, Sam Paley will start in pole position, and he leads the Mazda, the Idemitsu Mazda Championship at the moment, the MX-5 Championship, by dint of that pole position points tally.
Yeah, 10 points. And I know it doesn't sound like very much when you consider a race win as, well, 350, but everyone counts.
Hang on. Did you see some of the gaps last year?
Exactly.
And that could make a difference towards the end of the year about how many positions you might have to make up to overhaul an opponent.
Exactly. And there are still 20 more points to go for in this race. When you consider that there is the fastest lap, you get 10, and most laps led, you get 10. And points mean money because it pays down to 10th place in the championship. So every point, whether it means you come away with 4th place or 5th place in the championship, that is actual cash value.
Cash money. Points make prizes. Make cash here. That is your qualifying. Let me run down the top 10 for you. Sam Paley and Celine Roland will be on the pole position. Connor Zilic is the best of the rookies. He'll start behind the pole sitter. Alongside him, Michael Carter, former champion of this season, won one of the races here last year. Then it's Jared Thomas in the silver number 96. David Staub with a last lap going towards the line pulls him up into sixth. Willie Hyman and Jensen Altman in seventh and eighth. Jensen will be happy with that. That's inside the top 10. That's one of his better qualifying positions for the young man in the 13. Chris Neans and Joey Atanasio. Joey, the second best of the rookies. That's 9th and 10th. Then it's Aiden Fasnacht. He's third best of the rookie. Tyler Gonzalez in 12th. Max Opalski, another rookie, in 13th. 14th is Bruno Camilleri. Now, he would have been far further up, but don't forget he lost a couple laps because he was going very slowly. In 14th position, Jemison Riley. Then Gresham Wagner. Why is Gresham all the way down there in the 5? Aaron Johnson, why is he all the way down there in 17th? The 48, Rossi Lee. Zach Lee is in 18th position. 19th, Justin Piscatel. And Glenn McGee, back in the championship, rounds off the top 20. Big loser there in terms of the time was Bryce Cornet, who finished the session in the box, but more importantly, deemed to be the cause of the accident that sidelined Moise Oretzky, so lost his two fastest lap and dropped from fourth at the time, way outside the top 20. Join us for all of the build-up and the race live in sound and vision, whether you're here in the States or further afield. No blocks, no breaks, and all free, as IMSA Radio and IMSA TV will be together for the first round of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup And even the way they go back to the paddock is magnificent, because they roll down from pit out first and then do a beautifully synchronized U-turn before they're allowed to go back to the paddock, contra race down the pit lane. We'll have the action for you this afternoon. It might be well behaved and well disciplined now. It's going to be all action when we come back. Join us for that. For the moment, from Daytona, for Shea Adam, I'm John Hindhoff. See you later. Bye-bye.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.